folks, this is the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. My name is Brandon Mraz, here with Austin and Cooper. We are talking all things Alabama baseball after a fantastic week of Alabama baseball. And guys, let's just get right in it. Midweek game, we were all a little worried about this. And boy, should we not have been. Alabama hosts Samford and dismantles Samford. Austin, what did you think of this game?
I was, you know, just really impressed all around, guys. Offense was hitting. And I would just want to highlight the pitching. I want to highlight Grayson Hitt. We've talked about him on the podcast before about the issues that he's faced in the season. And he had a series high, or season high, excuse me, of four innings. And, I mean, just, you know, it was a great performance. You know, performed as well as we could expect him to in a midweek game and got a good outing and hope to see it in relief appearances in these weekend series.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the pitching. Obviously, the hitting was insane, scoring 19 runs. But, you know, I liked it. I liked that we got the young guys in. You know, I liked that Eli got in a little bit and pitched. He had one earned run, but three strikeouts, not terrible. Hunter Ruth got in, pitched well, and Jake Eddington also pitched really well. So I was really happy with the young guys getting in, getting some experience, and looking really good. And obviously it's easy to pitch when your guys are just cranking them every which way. Cooper, what do you think of Samford?
Great win. Like, I know I was the one who predicted the loss for this game, so I'm happy to be wrong. Haven't been the biggest Grayson Hitt fan this season. As the podcast, you can go back through the podcast. You can check that Grayson Hitt has not been my favorite Tide player this year, but he did well. You know, four innings, only gave up one run, I believe. It was one run. And just, you know, it was a good showing. Bats definitely woke up. Peyton Wilson continued his hitting streak. So, you know, just all around great game for the Tide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we move on to Thursday, the start of the Auburn series. And we let Austin start us off with the series for the first time this season. Austin, take it away.
Yeah, switching it up this week, guys. Got the opening game of the series, and man, was it a game to be at. It was an extra inning thriller. Wound up pulling it out. Alabama on top, 8-7. So we kind of touched on a little bit. We've seen this been a recurring theme of scoreless early innings. It kind of changed a little bit in this outing. We were up 2-1 in the second, and then continued that streak, you know, up until the fourth inning. So a lot of just what I want to touch on in this game, especially seeing a lot of fielding errors, and that resulted in a lot of misplays and extra base hits for the Tigers that, you know, really could have been avoided and should have been mitigated. And especially coming to the fourth and fifth inning when Auburn made their run to come back on top, we saw inside the park home run. We saw, you know, a throwaway ball to move a guy to second base on a wild pitch, you know, stuff like that. Errors we're seeing out on the field that, you know, we don't see all that often, but seemed like it was really highlighted in this opening game of the series. But Alabama performed well, came back and tied the game up in the eighth inning after Auburn scored another shot. And we tied us up at 7-7, and went it down into the ninth inning. And then finally the Tide pulled it out and a walk-off hit down the right field line to bring in the final run, 8-7. Just a solid performance all the way around, guys. You know, it wasn't the best pitching performance that we had. You know, Raz gives up six runs, but the bullpen played pretty solid in this game. I mean, you know, you really couldn't expect much more from them, only giving up one inning and the relief appearances, including that last 10th inning that they held it down for us. So, you know, I thought it was a solid inning overall, and just, you know, it showed the fight. Like we've mentioned before, you know, this team has come back out on top after the series win last weekend, and looks like we've got a lot of fight in us.
Yeah, the one thing I liked about this game was Landon Green coming in at the end and getting the win for us. As we know, Chase Lee is probably our best closer, and especially with Prelip coming in on Saturday, not really knowing what he was going to give, I think it was really important to have Chase Lee ready to go either Friday or Saturday to combo either with Dylan or with whatever was going to happen with Connor. So to be able to get out of this first game without using Chase Lee, that was huge. You know, Peyton Wilson, I keep talking about him. He's our most solid hitter on the team. I also want to highlight Sam Prater, who ended up having a heck of a series, and we'll talk about that, but Prater's playing well. Wilson's playing well, and Denton's playing well. So that top of the lineup is fantastic right now.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Brandon. And got to highlight the man who won the game, the Canadian Hammer, Owen Diodati. We'll talk about him later in when we get later on in the series. But, hey, back-to-back SEC games where he got the winning run. So just Diodati coming in clutch like he usually does. That was something we weren't seeing against Arkansas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss, of course. There weren't many situations for him to come in clutch in those series, but, you know, it's glad to see Diodati back.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that he was going to be a big part of success this year, so to see him starting to get more and more into that role is just super encouraging. So, yeah, then we move into Friday, and I had this game, and unfortunately, I had the only loss of the series, which now extends my streak in right field to 0-3. That's right. So that's fun. And unfortunately, once again, Dylan Smith cannot get a win in the win column. Very upsetting. Not, you know, he gave up four runs, but I didn't have a lot of problem with that. I thought he still pitched pretty well. He went seven innings, which is great. That's the one thing about Dylan. Dylan doesn't get in his own head, regardless of what happens. He's going to just keep pitching and doing him. And that's what happened. I mean, he gave up three early and then ended up giving up one more, but I didn't really have a problem with it. I thought it was great. I think if he can give us, you know, length in the game, he's going to stay in the game. You know, we battled back in this one. We were kind of back and forth, kind of staying one run behind for most of the game. Never really got a lead, but it was just difficult. This was a difficult game. Auburn was able to hit some shots out of the park that I really, you know, when they came off the bat, didn't really think they were going to get out. But it happened. It was kind of cold and rainy. Just everything came together for Auburn. And unfortunately, we got the loss. Another thing to highlight, Connor Shamblin came in. He also pitched pretty well. One run off of an error. Again, like we talked about before, errors have kind of hindered us a little bit in winning games, or at least making games closer than they need to be. So with that being said, I wasn't too upset with this loss. Obviously, you hate to lose to Auburn, but this was hard fought. Our pitchers pitched okay. You know, just some silly mistakes and some really ugly strikeouts that put us down in this one. Guys, what did you think of Friday?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's like we talk about all the time, just around the SEC, you're going to drop a game eventually. And I feel like, I think it's a plus for us that this wasn't a blowout loss. You know, it was definitely, like you mentioned, hard fought game, hard fought loss, and just couldn't come up with the final run to bring it over the top after that late rally in the ninth. And just, you know, there could have been a better performance, but there could have been a worse performance. You know, you hate to not see Dylan Smith get the win. But still, you know, come back and win the series, to win the game on Thursday, win the game on Saturday. You know, you can't ask for much more from the guys out of that.
Yeah, no. Cooper, what did you think of Friday?
I mean, y'all have summed up pretty well. It's a tough loss, but, you know, we didn't look horrible or awful. And at some points, we might have even looked good, like Dylan Smith got 8 strikeouts, bringing his season total to 69. I mean, that's more than double. Yeah, nice. That's
nice.
Double our next pitcher, too. It's more than double our next pitcher. So, like, he's doing well. You look at Dylan's stats on the season, he's doing well except for that 0-4 record. So, like, I'm just waiting for that first win so that the world can see how good we all know Dylan Smith is. You know, when they just look at a win-loss, they'll be like, he got a win.
Yeah.
So
no perfect game this week, unfortunately, guys.
Yeah.
That was a long shot. It was a long shot. But we move into Saturday, and boy, did Cooper pick this one right. Yeah, this was crazy. This was a heck of a game. So, Cooper, I'll let you take it. This was awesome.
Yeah, this was a heck of a game. I called it was going to be a wild one. I think I said like something like 18-15. Not necessarily that wild, but still 10-9 win. Walk it off. That is still crazy. It was 8-5 in the middle of the fourth. Like, they really took their foot off the brake, or took their foot off the pedal towards the later innings. But yeah, Prelip was back for an inning. Don't know what's up with that. Hopefully it was just wariness, you know, like, let's not pitch him too much in his first game, but who knows? It probably could have been he was feeling some discomfort again, which was what the issue was at the beginning of the season, why he's been out so long. So we'll have to wait and see where Prelip goes. You know, back and forth, they got one, we got two, they got four, we got one, and we got two again to make it 5-5, and they got three. I mean, it was just fireworks going off. So many runs, a couple of home runs, everybody getting in on the action. Wilson, Hamader, Denton, Prater, Diodati. I think everyone except Rose got a hit in the lineup.
Caden.
We bring it over to the ninth. We're tied at nine. You know, Williamson on the base and Jim Jarvis coming up. And, you know, Jarvis, you're not expecting him to be the hero. You know, you're in the middle of the lineup. Maybe, yeah, you're towards the back. You're thinking it's Jarvis. Okay, maybe he gets a hit. Rose does whatever he does. And Wilson wins it. You know, that's kind of what happens. But no, Jarvis doubled the left, brought in Williamson. And so he's the hero today. And Brandon, you were telling me earlier today when he ripped his shirt off for the win.
Dude is yoked.
Dude is so lit.
Big. He's so like 5'8" and he's jacked.
Looking like a Wolverine, you know, the superhero, the Wolverine, short guy and just jacked. So just overall great win. What did y'all think from the game?
First of all, I just want to point out Jim Jarvis with his jersey on looks like Steve Rogers before Super Serum. And then with his shirt off, I was like, okay. All right, dog.
All right, Captain America.
Not to mention best flow on the team. Best flow on the team. Are you kidding? Like, California boy got the flow going crazy. No, but overall, this game was awesome. This was a heck of a game. It was a great Saturday in Tuscaloosa. It was a beautiful day. I was actually watching it outside. It was great. You know, I saw a lot. I think, to your point, I think Prelip probably only pitched an inning. I think that was more of like a, let's throw you, let's see what happens. I don't necessarily think that something bad happened. I just think Bo wants to, I mean, think about it this way. With the series that we have coming up, we can win games with the pitching we've had. I think it's important to slowly work Connor back to be ready for tournament time. And not really, I mean, we have what, Kentucky, Missouri, and Mississippi State will probably need him for, but by that time, hopefully he's back.
And Vanderbilt,
right? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, don't forget about them.
Ouch. But, you know, I really like this. I love when we can hit the ball. I love that it was contested, and I love that we gave Auburn its, like, what, ninth one-run loss in the SEC this year or something crazy like that. And it's just great. Like, anytime you can rip the hearts out of Tiger, War Eagle, whatever you want to call yourselves, fans, it's a good day.
And to do it by winning two games in walk-off fashion too, Brandon. I mean, you know, can it get any better than that? But I really like to see the team in the bottom of the eighth, the bottom of the nine in this game to play some small ball and get those runs in. You know, we saw sacrifice bunt. We saw guys moving along the bases. It wasn't a crazy, you know, home runs all over the place. It was a, we got to get these runs in, and we got the runs in to win the game. So I think that bodes well for us when we get into these closer games, when we face these Vanderbilt opponents and come tournament time, you know, that we have that experience. We have that ability to play small ball as well as the, you know, send the ball out of the park.
Yeah, that's one thing I definitely wanted to mention was – I did kind of notice that throughout this series, like, Bo was very aggressive with trying to play small ball, even if it was with a guy like Owen Diodati or Zane Denton or someone like that who's bunting to get whoever to third. I thought that was great. I think we got a lot of runs off of that. So to your point, yeah, that's that's going to be huge for us. And I was really impressed that not only can the people who you would think can play small ball, but people like Owen Diodati can play small ball. That's just huge for us.
If you need to find one negative from this game, like if I need to be that Debbie Downer, it's Antoine John coming in at the top of the second, only recording a third of an inning and giving up four runs. That was a little sad. Like, I get it. He's a starter. He wasn't preparing to pitch. I don't know if he was preparing to pitch. You know, Prelip only went one inning. Maybe he did know, like, hey, Saturday is going to be my game. You know, we're kind of doing an opener situation with Prelip, but I got to be the Debbie Downer, find that one negative. I'm expecting a little bit more from John instead of a third of an inning, four runs.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't go straight to McNary there. Because if you go McNary, he could probably get you three. Landon Green can definitely get you three. And then we know Chase Lee is phenomenal. So I don't really know the point of putting John in there. Maybe it was that Prelip got injured, but
we're hoping John could go a little bit longer.
Right.
Have to use your McNary, Green, Lee.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's very difficult to bring a starter in, especially when you're not thinking of starting, or even if you've been in a starter spot, right? And then you got to sit out in the bullpen for an inning, right? And now your whole routine is messed up. You don't know, you know, it's just, I think that's a very, very hard thing to do, especially going back from starter to bullpens. So I understand this. I think that was a little difficult and a little unfair from Bo to make Antoine John do this. Unless he told him about it. But even then, it's a difficult thing to do, to go from starter to reliever instead of reliever to starter. So, but with that being said, we're going to move into part two of the podcast. Take a quick look ahead. The midweek game and the upcoming series against Kentucky. So stick around. And we'll be right back with part two.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide. And I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We are in part two, looking ahead at the week for Alabama baseball, starting off on Tuesday, April 20th, 6 p.m. in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, taking on North Alabama, who is 4-29. Ouch.
One of those four wins are in out-of-conference play. So three conference wins. That's good. They're 3-12 in conference.
Yeah, that's better than Auburn.
Better than Auburn, yes, indeed.
There it is.
Always taking shots at Auburn.
Oh, yeah, forever. Yeah, this is – let's just make predictions now, guys. This is going to be ugly. We were actually talking about it in the break about – who we could sub out for the three of us to play in this game and still win.
Yeah, I was probably going to go to first. I think Brandon Wood center.
Yeah.
And then, Austin, you were going to DH, right?
I will take DH gladly.
Oh, so we're putting Dio in right now because you're DHing? All right.
Put good. Dio in right.
Dio hasn't played right in about 3 weeks. So he'd probably hate you for that, but it's fine. Be like, I gotta put my glove on. But yeah, this is going to be ugly. So I'll start 19-4, Alabama.
Oof.
Why not? I mean, we just beat Stanford 19-3.
If we're going to go crazy, let's see. They just lost to Liberty 0-15. So we'll copy that. 15.
Fan the Flames. Fan the Flames.
Fan the Flames.
Lord. All right. Awesome.
Guys, normally I'm the one that's over here talking up our Tuesday and Wednesday opponents to kind of give them a shot and, you know, puncher's chance, but I got nothing this week. We're going to say 18-2. I'm excited. I think it'll be kind of a match of Samford if we see a lot of these young guys get to pitch again this week. So,
yeah, that'd be absolutely great.
They did score 6 runs against Ole Miss.
On what day? What day
on
was
a Monday?
Yeah,
six runs against Ole Miss on a Monday. They gave up 20. So
yeah, that's what I was wondering. So Ole Miss came off a weekend series and was like, hey, here's this kid that we just signed. He actually just reclassified out of high school to pitch today. And he's going to pitch against you.
He gave up six and they scored 20. They yeah. still scored 20 after a weekend yeah. series.
Yeah, that's tough. But we moved into April 23rd on a Friday. We head up to Lexington, Kentucky for a 5:30 p.m. first pitch. You know, Kentucky is one of those SEC teams that you still can't get a read on yet. Like, they're just hit or miss every time.
They're 7-8 in the SEC, two-game losing streak, 22-11 overall. They look like us.
Yeah.
Just playing us. That record right there, that is us.
Yep.
So, could be an evenly matched game, but I think we get this series win.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, I just think our pitching's a little better from a starter perspective. I think Dylan Smith finally gets a win this week. Who knows? Probably lose another heartbreaker in that game too. But, yeah, I think we get the series win. If not sweep, definitely Friday, Sunday. Awesome.
Have to agree, guys. I'm going to pull off the sweep. I'm going to call the sweep. I'm just looking at the schedule, looking back of Kentucky's win against Auburn. They swept them 3-0. So, you know, that is cause for concern. But I think we've got it in the bag. I like Brandon touched on, I think our pitching is going to show up in this series. And I think our hitting, you know, is more than well capable of being able to pull this thing off and get the sweep.
All right. So I'll start off the predictions. I'll go Friday. We will probably have Tyler Raz on the mound. Been a little shaky, but I like a close win on Friday, 6-4, Alabama.
All right. I'm liking that too. You know, Tyler Raz on the mound maybe gives up four, but gotta be different because it's a podcast. It's not as fun when we're all in agreement. So I'll go 8-5, Alabama. I think Raz gives up five.
All right. Yep. Awesome.
I'm going to split the difference, agree with you guys. I think Raz has a little bit better outing than what y'all are giving him credit for. I'm going to go – he gives up two runs, but the bullpen falters a little bit. I'm going to say 5-2.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. Close but good victory for the Crimson Tide on Friday. Moving into Saturday, 1 p.m. first pitch. Gosh, can Dylan Smith just get a win? And I'm going to say, yes, he does. You know, something's got to give. It can't be five games in a row. It can't be six games. Something has to give. He's pitching way too well for it not to be. So I like Dylan Smith pitching seven again. I like, instead of Connor Shamlin, we bring in Chase Lee to finish off the game. And we get a nice, smooth 4-1 victory for the Crimson Tide.
I want to believe you. I want to believe you. If he didn't get the win against Auburn, I don't think it's going to come against Kentucky. I think he will pitch perfectly fine. He'll give up three runs, but we will have only scored three runs. He'll go seven innings. We'll score three runs. He'll give up three runs. And in fact, they take a lead. Bottom of the eighth, they make it 4-3, but we get two in the ninth. We win 5-4. Heartbreaker, but Dylan Smith gets a no decision, not a loss. He gets a no decision.
Oh, man. That is just unfortunate. Austin, give me some better news.
We are going for it again this week, guys. Did you expect anything different from me? I'm going to throw out a stat here for you. 3. That is the number of losses in a row that Kentucky Wildcats have in Saturday games. In the second game of the series, and they are going to make it 4 as my man picked up his first win of the season. I'm calling it again, and I'm going to say he only gives up one run, pitches excellent to earn the first double of the season. I'm going to say Alabama 4-1.
Let's go, Austin. We're on that same energy. I love it.
I want to believe you. I really want to believe you, but until – until the team shows me they can support Dylan Smith, I have to give them the win, but Dylan the no decision, which just pains me.
Cooper, both Austin and I predicted 4-1 Dylan Smith wins. You just got to jump on the bandwagon, man.
We'll see.
All right, and then we move into Sunday, noon first pitch. You know, I don't know who's going to pitch this one. It could be John. It could be Prelip. I don't really know. Either way, I have Alabama getting caught again. Crazy game. 10-6 win, Alabama.
All right. All right. I think John pitches this one. I think Prelip. There is something weird about Saturday's game. I don't think John was supposed to come in. I think Prelip was supposed to pitch a good 5 innings, so I think he may just be out for till the tournament. But I think John comes in now knowing what he has to do. He's prepared. We win this game easily, 7-4.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit on Sunday. I'm going to say Chase Lee has a good performance. I'm going to say the bullpen steps it up a little bit. And we have an out-of-character, slow, low-scoring game with a 2-1 Alabama win.
Nice. All right, so we all have sweeps going in this weekend. And you heard it here first. We are taking on Kentucky as well as Northern Alabama this week. And next week after that, we will start with a game in Birmingham at Regent Field. But we will talk about that next week. We are heading to part 3 now, where we will catch up with everything that's happened in the SEC, along with some MLB talk. I personally don't want to talk MLB, but we got to do what we got to do. And we got to check in on the final jersey poll. So that it's all coming to you in part 3. We will be right back.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. This is part 3. We're going through all the things SEC. We're going to take you through our jersey polls, and we're also going to talk a little bit of MLB at the end. But we start on Thursday, April 15th. As you know, Alabama played Auburn, got the win and the walk-off. But there was only one other game. LSU beats number 11 South Carolina. Snip, snap, team, man. Snip, snap.
Snip, snap. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 2 errors by South Carolina, and they only got 3 hits compared to LSU's 8. So
you're going to drop one every now and then.
Yeah, I would say so. I also think Thursday's a very tough day to play, especially if you're playing a midweek game on Tuesday or, you know, I think that's a tough spot.
Yeah, I'm not scared about LSU. This doesn't be,
no.
Oh, look out for that series.
Yeah, that'll be a fun series. But we move into Friday, bunch of good games here. You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about was obviously the marquee matchup, I think, of the weekend, which was number 2 Vanderbilt. Well, one of the marquee matchups in the SEC for the weekend. Let me take that back. But Vanderbilt versus Tennessee, Vanderbilt 5-0 win, 8 hits, no errors. Just, I mean, they're a juggernaut. They're an absolute juggernaut. Tennessee's a good baseball team, and they took them to church. So, yeah, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, just behemoths.
Yeah. They are scary. But, Cooper, what did you see in the SEC?
I'll highlight the other marquee matchup, and we'll probably just bounce back between these two series, which means, Austin, good luck finding some other games that looks interesting. Ole Miss and Mississippi State battled for the Egg Bowl. I don't know if the baseball series is called that. It should be. I feel like all those games should be called the Egg Bowl. And Mississippi State won this one. At the time, they were ranked 4, Ole Miss 6. They won 5-2. Just a really good close game. It's what you get when 2 powerhouses in the SEC match up for a baseball game. And Mississippi State ended up winning this one. So, congrats to the Bulldogs, but we will keep a close eye on this series throughout this whole segment.
Yeah, absolutely. Austin, what did you see on Friday?
So I'm going to highlight the Kentucky-Georgia series at the opening game on Friday. Kentucky pulled it out 6-1. very interesting. You know, we've talked about this Georgia team before. They can kind of be a hit or miss squad, but, you know, I mean, definitely have some serious wins, and their overall record is at 21 and 12 overall, although 5-8 in the SEC. But really what I wanted to point out in this game was Cole Stupp pitched for Kentucky 8 innings, only giving up 1 run. So, you know, that's a guy we're definitely going to be watching out for in that opening game of our series, and hope that he cannot perform quite as well.
Yeah, that,
That's, and might I add, that was 7 2/3 of scoreless innings. The run came at the very end.
You're telling me he went 7 2/3 untouched?
Great. He's the beast.
Still going to sweep him, guys. It doesn't even matter. So we move into Saturday, and I'll go back. Tennessee and Vanderbilt, this was just an absolute dogfight of a series. It was fantastic going back and forth. But Tennessee actually gets the win against Vanderbilt here. 8-4, both having 7 hits and 1 error. But Tennessee gets the win here. And like I said, Tennessee is a really good team. And so is Vanderbilt. We knew this was going to be back and forth. Battle for Tennessee. This is just a great series. And Tennessee gets the win here. Cooper?
All right, I'll move on to game two of my series, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And holy cow, you want to talk about playing a game with a vengeance. Look at Ole Miss score, 9-0, 17 hits compared to Mississippi State's 1 hit. That's right, you heard me right, folks. Mississippi State only got 1 hit in this game. The number 4 team in the country only got 1. Came off the bat of B. Skinner from left field. Probably should have looked up his first name, but we'll call him B. Skinner. Congrats on being the only Bulldog to get one. But Ole Miss just looked awesome in this game. Only a pinch hitter didn't get a hit, but only 2 batters on the Ole Miss lineup didn't get a hit, 1 from the starting 9, and they were just hitting it like crazy. And they went the first 5 innings scoring at least 1 run. 1-1-1-3-2. And it's just an overall, they looked dominant in this game.
Yeah. Austin? Their pitcher's name was Nick Hazy. Had a 1-hitter. I think they might need to change his name to Nick Nasty. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying. If I was a pitcher with the name Nick Hazy and I was just Nasty, I would be like, they call me Nick Nasty. They call me Nick Nasty.
Ole Miss production or promotion team, take our take our suggestion, Nick Nasty.
I am pretty much just giving free marketing advice to Ole Miss at this point between the jerseys and the names. I mean, like, I got to stop. I got to bring that to our team. Well, Austin, go ahead.
The South Carolina Gamecocks completed the sweep of the LSU Tigers. So we played a doubleheader on Saturday, played both games, won the first game 4-2, and completed a shutout in the second game 9-0. So, you know, we've mentioned the Gamecocks before. I'm definitely thinking they're in the running. I think they're going to give Vanderbilt a run for their money. They're going to give Florida, they're going to give all the East a run for their money. They now have 4 series wins in SEC play, and that includes road wins versus Georgia and this series versus LSU. You know, just they're looking really good. I don't know if they can compete against the heavyweight Vandy, but, you know, they're definitely going to be someone to watch come tournament time.
Yeah, we keep talking about that South Carolina team, and they do look dangerous. You know, I think they're pretty good. I think it's going to be tough with 3 teams that are Vandy, Tennessee, and Florida, but they are playing really good baseball right now, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Moving into Sunday, I'm going to finish it up with this series because this was just awesome. Vanderbilt wins 10-4 against Tennessee, 12 hits, no errors to Tennessee's 5 hits, no errors. Tennessee gets the series, Vanderbilt gets the series win here over Tennessee. And once again, the number 2 team in the country is cruising. So can't stop them, guys. Only hope to slow them down.
Exactly. I'll finish up my series. The Egg Bowl came down to this game 3. Mississippi State gets the win 7-5. They get to stay at 4 after winning the series. Ole Miss dropped from 6 to 12 in the country, which I think is a little unfair. I mean, Saturday, their Nick Nasty guy did just pitch a one, and they dropped 6 spots in the rankings, but whatever. Again, back-and-forth baseball game. It was 2-2 heading into the sixth. Ole Miss scores 2 in the top. They think they've kind of clinched this to win the series. Mississippi State comes back and scores 5. So just, you know, we've already played Ole Miss. Mississippi State's coming up. They're going to be another dangerous team that we have to watch out for. And it's because of innings like that. They can just score on you whenever they want to. So good win for Mississippi State.
Yeah. How about you, Austin?
I'm going to highlight the Texas A&M Aggies pulling off a win against number one ranked Arkansas. It was 11-10, super high scoring game. And, you know, we talked about it before, like even when we were playing them in the weekend series, you know, Texas A&M can turn it on. And when they turn it on, they've got the opportunity to beat anybody. We're up 11-7 in the seventh inning. Arkansas put together a stretch to come up with a home run to bring the score to within one, but was not able to come through. And just, you know, goes to show you this SEC parity there is, and all, and just all these games they're played.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But like you said, there's a lot of parity here. Obviously, Arkansas making 2 errors in that game doesn't help. But they're still the number one team in the country, I think. They're probably the best team we've played so far. So we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. But with that being said, it's time to reveal the uniform poll winner. Cooper, take it away.
All right, thanks. So this is 3 weeks in the making. It's finally week 4 of this. We all each submitted a jersey for the internet's decision to be the best SEC baseball jersey ever. I submitted Florida. Brandon, you submitted Ole Miss. Austin, you submitted Vanderbilt. And the winner is, drum roll please, Ole Miss in their baby blues wins the first ever right field roundtable pod CC baseball jersey competition. Oh, that's a mouthful to say, but congrats to Ole Miss. Personally, not a fan of the baby blues on them, but it's what the internet likes. So you don't get a trophy, Ole Miss, but you get our admiration. We don't have a budget for a trophy.
Ole Miss never gets trophies, so let's not start that now. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you got to give the people what you want, what they want.
Give the people what they want, and apparently what they want is red on baby blue.
Yeah, there you go. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. But, you know, I guess it's just why, you know, it's funny because as this jersey poll ran on, I started to see your guys' side of the argument against the baby blue. Now, I'm not saying I don't like it anymore, but I do understand the dislike. So I apologize. Yes. I'm sorry, but Ole Miss wins it.
It's all right. Hey, the internet got what it wants.
Yep. The internet always gets what they want, don't they? Exactly. So, but now we're just going to talk a little MLB to finish up the show. We'll give Cooper the floor. He's got a series he wants to talk about. I don't know.
I get to gloat. For the second weekend in a row, the Rays played the Yankees, and we got one more win than we did the first weekend. We swept the Yankees in New York. Saw a stat. I think that makes us like 13-1 in our last 14 games in New York or something like that. Some crazy statistic. Can the Rays just play the Yankees all year long?
No.
That would make for one happy Rays fan up here. Probably not a happy Yankees fan for Brandon. Just good overall wins. Got us back to 500. We're 8-8. In our division, Boston, the sneaky good team, is 10-4 and in first place. Sorry, 11-6. So that's crazy. We need to put a stop to that.
Yes. Yes, we do.
But it was just a good series. Everybody looked good. And once people get off injury, everybody will look better. So, Austin, I'm probably going to bring up some bad emotions, but how did the Braves do this weekend?
So, you know, we won't put it exactly awful out of my mouth, but not great. Started off the week against NL East. I guess you could call them a rival, the Miami Marlins. Dropped three, played a four-game series, dropped three, won the final. Just not a great start. You know, you never want to lose three games to somebody in your division. And then on top of that, they jump us off of those three wins. So, you know, rubs a little sting, still very early in the season, but you still don't like to see it. Did come back, however, in a three-game series against the Cubs, and picked up two against the Cubbies on the series. You know, so we got some movement going, got some scoring, offense is working. So, you know, I've got high hopes. You know, still early on in the season, we're going to see how we do going into some more NL East matchups, and I think we can ride the ship.
Sounds good. I saw y'all traded 13-4 victories.
We did.
Friday and Sunday. That's
– yeah, very interesting.
But, it's a weird score for each of y'all to copy, so –
You know, we try to do what we can to keep it weird, you know.
Keep it weird. And I am also seeing that the Braves and the Yankees will play this week. As of this recording, which is on Monday, they play tomorrow. This recording will probably be published on Tuesday, so they play tonight for all of you listening. So what are y'all feeling for that two-game set?
Brandon, I'll give you the floor.
Good two wins, Braves. Good two wins. That's all I got
to
say.
I'll take it. If he's going to give it to me, I'll take it. I'll take the two wins.
Actually, I take that back. I'll take one. Let's just split for now. To be honest with you, I'm not happy. There's something wrong going on with us. We can't get right. We can't do anything correctly. It's just frustrating right now. It's a frustrating time to be a Yankees fan. Not giving up hope yet. It's too early to do that, but something's got to change. I don't know. Where is that game? New York. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just throw things at your players, and then we'll win both of them.
I'm gonna predict the two wins. So that just where you know where I stand.
Yeah. I mean, listen. It is what it is, but. If your team isn't winning, I'm not condoning throwing things on the field, but if your team isn't doing the job, maybe the fans take over. I don't condone it. I don't think it's right, but I understand the sentiment when you're losing. But, this is bad.
Well, I guess I have to straight up condemn it. You know, would just make our listeners make sure they know we condemn throwing stuff on the field.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a horrible idea. The only time as a fan you are allowed to throw something on the field is when an opposing team hits a home run and the crowd starts yelling at you. However, when you do that, you need to find the most open and nearest space on the baseball field for you to throw that ball. And I mean, like, you have to give yourself a margin of error on the left and right of about 50 yards. Okay, and it needs to be within 40 yards of where you're standing, because you don't have a contract, you don't throw well, and you're going to hurt someone. So if you are in that position, please, because William Hamilton almost died the other day, please find. I don't care if you have to throw it on the foul line and you like hit the netting. Don't throw it at players. Find an open spot if you're going to do it. Don't do it at all for the most part. That's all I got.
Who knows? Maybe you pull a Henry Rowengardner and throw from straight center to home plate and get signed by the Cubs the next day.
Kid out of Cannon. That was a great movie.
He did. Great movie. Maybe that'll be our next bracket is baseball movies. Not sure.
Oh, we can do that. That was... That, or we could do MLB jerseys. We could keep the jerseys going.
So a lot of ways to go with this third segment.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll get back to you next week. But that's all we have for you this week. We'll see you after we play North Alabama in our series with Kentucky. We'll get you ready for the upcoming games after that. Stick around next week for the show. all time. Thank you for listening.